الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Respected scholars, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Assalamu alaikum جميعا و رحمة الله و بركاته. أعظم الله أجورنا و أجوركم بمصابنا بأمير المؤمنين و يعصوب الدين علي ابن أبي طالب عليه أفضل الصلوات والتحيات. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our fasting during the days of this holy month of Ramadan, our worshipping at nights of the month of Ramadan, and especially our mourning in these special occasions, and that alhamdulillah coincided with one of the possible Layal al-Qadr inshallah. A question I was asked about taking injection, whether it would affect the fasting or not. Injection, according to Ayatollah Sistani, Hafizahullah, any kind of injection, of course we are talking about halal injections, like for antibiotic, nutrition purposes, vitamin injections, or any kind of injections, according to Ayatollah Sistani, it is not considered an example of taking food or drink, and therefore does not affect your fasting. Your fasting will be in order as long as you take any kind of injection. Ayatollah Khamenei and some other maraji, they take precaution, obligatory precaution, if the injection is nutritionist, like vitamin injection. If the person is taking vitamin injection, Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizahullah, he says that according to obligatory precaution, it must be avoided. So in a nutshell, if you are a follower of Ayatollah Sistani, any kind of injection is fine while you are fasting, does not affect your fasting. If you are following Ayatollah Khamenei or such maraji, then because they don't give any fatwa, they do ihtiyat wajib, either you avoid it if possible, or you make intention that on this issue you follow, for example, Ayatollah Sistani, and you can take the injection. Inshallah, it's clear with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
As Brother Murtaza is kindly fixing the microphone as well, one announcement I made last night, and in fact I spoke about it, but I like to take advantage of this respected crowd tonight and refresh your memory. Please, 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 pretty please remember, in respect and honor of the Quran, as much as in respect of honor of Amirul Mu'mineen you came tonight, inshallah, in respect and honor of the Quran, please make sure that you come, bring whoever that you know also. On the night of 27th, I think, is the competition for the Quran. Inshallah, we all want to sit here in this Husseiniyah watching the competition of our next generation and the youth and the youngsters, inshallah. Please remember that for next week on the night of 27th. Tonight is the night of the martyrdom anniversary of Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib. There is a statement that historians have made for the reason because of which, or the excuse because of which, Imam Ali alayhi salam was martyred. Very famous statement some historians have made, friends and foes, Muslims and non-Muslims, that قُتِلَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبِ فِي مِحْرَابِ عِبَادَتِهِ لِشِدَّةِ عَدَالَتِهِ. If anyone wonders, a man like Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Muttaqeen, crystallization of piety and taqwa, such a noble person, why was he assassinated and killed? Historians, they said there was no any other reason other than because Ali was too just for his community, too just. Inasmuch as we appreciate justice, but when it comes, unfortunately, in conflict with my personal interest, then no longer justice is a virtue for me. No longer I care about justice. I care about justice as long as I can take my haq against someone. But if somebody wants to exercise justice to take their haq from me, why are you being too serious? That's why tonight, inshallah, I want to talk about some aspects of the justice of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam and bring it very close to home with applications and examples that, inshallah, will be applicable to all of us. And I am the first to be included. I'll be very honest with you. The reason that I'm sharing, inshallah, the information of tonight very briefly with you is also a confession to the youngsters. As an elderly person, sharing my experience of life and confess to them so that you don't say that I wish when I was young a sheikh or somebody had told me this. I don't want you to be experienced for others for the next generation. So youth and youngsters, especially elderly people, I'm sure they fully understand where I'm coming from. With all respect, they might have experienced it as well. But the youngsters, please pay more attention to the topic of tonight. If somebody asks me, and I'm on the top of the member sitting here for confession, we are not Christians, that's not the confession that we are doing it, but I want to share an experience with you. If somebody asks me that, Sheikh Mansour, what is the most repeated mistakes that you have ever done in your life? Could you please tell us so that we take heed to it and avoid it? I tell you, the most repeatedly mistake that I have made in my life, time and again, I regretted it, and I hated myself after that, but it was already out, was when I was judgmental on others. When I judged on my wife, when I judged on my children, when I judged on my friends, when I judged on my colleagues and so forth. And later on, subhanAllah, God shows me that I was quick. I jumped to the conclusion without having ample evidence in hand, and I regretted it. So if you don't want to fall into the same pitfall of Sheikh Mansour and similar to Sheikh Mansour, the treatment for that is don't be judgmental. When it comes to judging about others, if you can give them the benefit of the doubt, good and fair. If Shaitan is playing with your mind, like played with mine, to suspect and like give wrong, make wrong assumptions about others, please be quiet as much as you can, because your faith will be in jeopardy. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, think of this, on the day of judgment, when judges are resurrected, judges will be resurrected, out of every four judges, three of them will be hellbound. Only one may proceed to paradise. Look at the high risk of being a judge. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that lisanul qadi bayna jamratayn min nar. The tongue of a judge is between two firing coals of hell. Until hatta yaghdi, until he finishes his judgment. Then if his judgment was according to the Islamic principles, will proceed to paradise, no question. But if he did not make a fair judgment, hell is his eternal abode. Now, when we are speaking of judgment, you may say, Sheikh Mansour, I have no intention of becoming a judge. Hey, my friend, I'm not a judge in that sense either. The judge that we are talking about is not only the one who is a magistrate sitting in the court of law. every single one of us, male or female, young or old, when we judge in our mind about someone or become a judge on principle, isn't it? And this ayah that I started my speech tonight with, Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 58, applies to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, God has commanded you to deliver the trust to its rightful owners. That's another topic, requires another discussion. And then, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, if you ever decide to judge among people, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَحْكَمُوا بِالْعَادِ, when you judge between people, make sure that you give them the a fair go, as we say. Make sure that you are fair. Make sure to treat them the way you like to be treated. This is the difficulty. This is the challenge. That unfortunately, human nature is like this. I'm not sure if you are like this. I know about myself. That when it comes to myself, I give the benefit of the doubt to myself. But when it comes to others, reluctantly say whatever I want to say. And therefore, I become judgmental. And therefore, I lose my faith. Therefore, I become hell-bound, God forbid. One of the brothers had made a very nice message that for formality, we forward, especially these forwarding messages, I'm hesitant to forward it often. Just for formality, please, if I've ever broken your heart or have done anything wrong, forgive me. Come on, man. If you are serious, if I'm serious, I have to identify the person that I have truly broken their heart. Go to them, seek forgiveness, plead to them, beg them time and again, please forgive me. This is called seeking forgiveness. Not a general statement, if at all. Very courteous seeking forgiveness. This is not genuine seeking forgiveness. That's why in Islam, conditions apply for those who want to judge, and quickly I'll go through that and apply and share with you some examples from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. First condition, do not ever put yourself in the position of judging about others unless you have ample evidence. Ample evidence. Especially when it comes to sensitive issues, personal issues. Let me be more explicit. When it comes to the reputation of believers, that is a very sensitive issue. Like when it comes to sexual scandal and accusation, Quran clearly says, for just men, believing men, witnesses are required, eyewitnesses. Even Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I don't like to be the first of those four, the second of those four, the third of those four. If I have witnessed a sin as one of the four, I wait for the first one, second, third to appear in the court, and then I may be the fourth one. I don't want to take the risk. Because see how delicate the issue is. In the book of judgment, Kitabul Qadha, all our maraji, ulama are unanimous on this. That even hypothetically speaking, if three eminent ayatollah appear in the court of law before the magistrate, give their eye testimony to a sexual scandal, something haram, that requires four just male witnesses, but there is no fourth one, all the three have to be punished. Of course, ayatollah wouldn't do this because they know the law. Hypothetically, I'm talking about. Okay, that's how serious it is. Please go to Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, from ayah 11 for about 15 ayah. For those, inshallah, you're familiar with the style of the Quran. Usually, Quran is very brief on issues. Doesn't go to details and elaboration. Elaboration comes from the riwayat. Exceptionally, this is a unique exception in the Quran. 15 ayah in Surah An-Nur, one after the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to elaboration when it comes to sexual scandal. That what's the matter with you? لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوا ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوا ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ عَظِيمٌ. So what it was on Allahu Akbar, this is what I want to bring the youth's attention. Go to social networking, there is a hot gossip. All of the sudden, like a hot cake is spread in the community. Forwarding, sharing. And it started from just between two individuals. Why are you socializing it? Why are you taking it to social networking? One of the damages that these social networking programs they do to the communities worldwide today is that personal private issues, no longer there is privacy. All of the sudden, the whole community need to know about your conversations. Relax. Quran says, so what, you heard it? You have no right to put it on your Facebook. And everyone has to see it. Allahu Akbar, what's happening, brother? It goes out of hand. You are making a fire community fight with this. You have to say, this is Ifkun Azeem, brother, fear Allah. Continue ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, لولا استمعتهم قلتم ما لنا أن نتكلم بهذا. When it's, you heard it? No, brother. Even husband and wife between themselves. Look, darling, this is not our story to talk about. None of my business. None of your business. Let's change the subject. This is what Quran is teaching us. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. تَقْفُ in Arabic, قَفَى, it means when you're following. Don't follow a news that you don't have enough ample evidence before you. On the day of judgment, think of this. If Sheikh Mansour, you stand on the day of judgment before Allah and you want to prove this case, can you? Do you have enough evidence to prove it? Islamically? No. Therefore, say, it's not my story to talk. I don't want to hear it, brother. Don't talk about it. Cut them, interrupt them, don't let them continue. This is first condition. Second condition of judgment is that Allahu Akbar, always there are two sides to this story. Always there are two sides to the story. Please remember these Quranic references, life-threatening issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested one of his eminent prophets, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, to train him. Apparently Dawood failed, but to train him so that you and I tomorrow also don't fail. In Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a case, either real case or it's what's made based on different tafasir, that a guy comes to Prophet Dawood and said, Ya Rasulallah, my brother has got 99 ewes, female sheep, and I've got only one. Only one. And yet he is after my only ewe, my only sheep. Prophet Dawood, before listening to the other side, we have plaintiff in the court of law, the one who comes with the claim, and we have the defendant. Before hearing the argument of the defendant, gave the judgment. And says, لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ Quran quotes, لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعَجَتِكَ إِلَى نَعَاجِهِ. Surely he's been unfair to you by asking your only you to his 99 ewes. That's not fair. He's got enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Dawood, you failed. You miserably failed. Ya Rab, is my judgment wrong? No, your judgment was not wrong. The process to your judgment was wrong. The process to your judgment. On principle, you should have listened to the other side of the story and then release your verdict and your judgment. Do you see? Not that Prophet Dawood made the mistake in judgment. The judgment was, yes, correct. The rule was what he had said. But on principle, husband and wife come to me, talk to me about their issue. No matter who he is, no matter who she is, brother, sister, there are always two sides to the story. I have to talk to the other side as well before I can tell you anything. It's so delicate. I told you that the biggest mistakes we make in our lives, and then haqqun nas comes on us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath in his majestic name that haqqullah I forgive, but haqqun nas you have to go and satisfy him. Even if you die as a shaheed and there is haqqun nas on you, God says, ya shaheed, go and seek satisfaction and the pleasure of that person. Unless they forgive you, it's something between you two, you work it out. You work it out. You said something, you cut the bond of relation, you made a family fight. Now these family members, they don't communicate. They have cut their relation because of what you have said and the mischief that you have made. Be careful of what you say. So the second important, very important condition of judgment, brothers, sisters, alert, alert, in the night of the voice of human justice. If you want to be fair in judgment, listen to two sides of the story. If you cannot, stay out of it. Stay out of it. I don't know the story. I don't know, please. It becomes a gossip then. A man came to the house of Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib. Such a hospitality, look at this. The head of the state, a man comes to Kufa. He cannot afford, or there was no one to accommodate him. He goes to Amirul Mu'minin. Ya Ali, I'm homeless. I've come here for some business. No one is giving me accommodation. He says, come over, be my guest. 2 days, he says, I was in the house of Amirul Mu'minin. I had the honor of being in his house. The second day, I felt comfortable and I said, now I can bring up my case. He was a plaintiff. He had come to Kufa for a complaint against someone. As they were having their breakfast, he says, I brought up the issue. By the way, Ya Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, you know, to be honest with you, I've come here to Kufa because I've got a complaint about someone. There's a financial dispute between me and my partner. Imam alayhi salam stopped him and said, sorry, are you a plaintiff? He said, yes, I am. The Imam says, please kindly pack up and arrange another accommodation for me. You cannot stay with me anymore. He said, what happened, Ya Ali? You are so hospitable. The most still I am. But naha Rasulullah an yudaf al khasm illa ma khasme. The Holy Prophet of Islam, subhanahu, do you see how Imam Ali is melted in Islam? Melted in Islam. Imam Ali alayhi salam says the Prophet has forbidden us to be hospitable to a plaintiff unless the defendant is also there. So that I can hear two sides of the story. Please pack up and find another accommodation. Imam Ali alayhi salam himself, he goes to the court of law. Allahu Akbar. That's what I told you. I shared this information somewhere, believe me, for non-Muslims. For non-Muslims. And a priest came up to me and he said that I thought you are talking about Jesus Christ. I said, men of God are all speaking words of God. They are all men of God. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the head of a state. Easier said than done, than imagine it even. A Jewish person had stolen an armor from the Baytul Mal. Imam Ali takes the case to the court. The judge of the court is his subordinate. He has appointed him as the judge. Shurayh Qadi. As soon as Imam Ali enters the court and that Jewish man, like a minor from a minority, from a different religion even, the judge naturally stands before Amir al-Mu'minin and calls Imam, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Imam alayhi salam says, I'm not Amir al-Mu'minin here. I am a plaintiff. You have to refer to me in this case today, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Therefore, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Do you see how difficult it is, why I made this confession here? How difficult it is to be a counselor, to be in the position of judging on family issues. A brother comes, he has an issue with his wife. He is a very eminent member of the community. A doctor, a chairperson, hypothetically, forgive me to mention these titles. Very eminent member of the community. A respected scholar, an ayatollah. And his wife, let's say, just an ordinary lady, not even from this community, hardly can speak to defend herself. I have no right to refer to him as your eminence, doctor. I have to refer to him, call him with first name. To be fair and equal, even in naming them. Because that may cloud my judgment. So in Islam, when it comes to the court of law, there's no big shots. All are equal before the law. There is no hierarchy. Father and son, father and grandson, they have an issue. Go to the court of law or come to the sheikh. That's again another court of law. And the sheikh is expected to judge. This is a grandfather, this is a grandson. There is no hierarchy in the court of law in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this case to you and I, Amirul Mu'mineen versus a Jewish man. So that you never think that I'm high and mighty. come on, Amir al-Mu'minin, you cannot be even close to him. Okay? So when it comes to giving people the fair go, so many conditions are applicable. We have to be very careful of what we say. Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's why in his personal life, when he was sitting in the position of judgment, subhanAllah, he was so fair that eventually they say he was killed because of his justice. By so-called friends, Ibn Murjam Muradi used to be one of the soldiers of Amir al-Mu'minin, Khawarij. They were, yes, they became offshoot, but they used to be in the army of, part of the army of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. They could not stand the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib. I don't want to take you to the history, you're familiar with that. Talha and Zubair, among the very first who paid allegiance to Amir al-Mu'minin. But when Imam Ali says that, I don't think you're fit for that position. Oh, then becomes a different story altogether. A lady with the name of Sude, because she was from the tribe of Hamdan. Hamdan is a tribe in today's Yemen. And subhanAllah, years before, when the Prophet of Islam sent Imam Ali to Yemen, Imam Ali went to this tribe of Hamdan over a day. There is a story behind that, that before that the Prophet had sent someone. Over a month he was preaching, not one person was interested. The next delegate is Imam Ali alayhi salam. When the Prophet sends Imam Ali on his arrival, the first day before sunset, the whole tribe became Muslim. Not only became Muslim, they became lovers of Amir al-Mu'minin, so known in the history, Qabilat Hamdan, the tribe of Hamdan. A lady from that tribe, her name is Sude. This is at least 4 or 5 years after the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam. At that time, Muawiyah had appointed a very ruthless person for that tribe, because they were the lovers and followers of Amir al-Mu'minin, to make life difficult for the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. His name is Busr ibn Artad, a ruthless person, that with excuse people would lose their lives, let alone wealth. So much taxes were imposed on this tribe. This lady Sude, because of a story that I tell you now, she decides to take the case to the federal government, to Sham, to Muawiyah. On behalf of her community, riding her camel, goes to Sham, Syria. Goes to Muawiyah and complains that, who is this ruthless man you appointed? Really, do you know how many of our men are killed? How much taxes are imposed on us? This is absolutely unfair. What's going on here? Muawiyah, because there's a background to this. Some years ago, Sude had a stand against Muawiyah at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah remembers that and therefore tells her that, okay, I write a letter now and send you back to my delegate. How dare you come and complain to me about my delegate? I'll let him fix you himself. That means Sude is dead. Dead and a half. Upon hearing that, she cries and she reads this poem. صَلَّ الْإِلَهُ عَلَىٰ جَسْمٍ تَضَمَّنَهُ قبر فأصبح فيه العاد المدفونا. Translation: may the salutation of God be upon a body who is buried in a grave, collected by a grave, that with his burial justice is buried. With his burial, justice is buried. 5 years after the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah goes, who are you talking about? Sude says, I'm talking about my master, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Mentioning the name of Imam Ali would cost them life. Now in front of Muawiyah, she dares to say, my master, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. However, subhanAllah, Muawiyah feels jealous. He wants to show off and play that I'm also fair and give people a fair go. He says, we can do what Ali was doing. It's not a big deal. Give me that piece of paper. I can write that you are exempt from paying tax. And give her the paper. Go back to Bosr and say, Muawiyah said to exempt you from getting tax. Do you see I can be also fair? Again, Sude in tears. I said, what else do you want? What's wrong with you, lady? She says, no, I'm in tears that even the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib brings justice, let alone his existence. I just mentioned his name, and with bringing his name, justice was brought. Hence, I told you, historians have mentioned, قُتِلَ فِي مِحْرَابِ عِبَادَتِ لِشِدَّةِ عِدَالَتِ Imam Ali alayhi salam, that we are honored to be his lover and inshallah followers, he was killed because of justice. And therefore it's not fair, brothers and sisters, not to give each other a fair go. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Imshab, tonight inshallah, I want to take you to Kufa and see what is happening. If my breath helps me to read more majlis. Tonight is the night of weeping, crying, mourning. If I may request to turn off the lights so that we can illuminate the lights of our hearts. If I may request to join me, all brothers, your dress code tells me that you are mourning for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even if you are not dressed in black, I'm sure that your heart is mourning for Amir al-Mu'mineen. So let us tonight see if we can find a space in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Brothers, let us go tonight to his house and give our condolences to Hassanain, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and say, my dear Imam, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum. I wish I was there to give my support for you. I wasn't there then, but here I am with my family. Sisters, Bibi Zainab is about to lose her father. I'm sure you would like to be, you would love to be there. Now you can send your souls, be around her, console her, be with her so that she doesn't feel lonely. This lady that at the age of only 5, like her mother, subhanallah, she became an orphan. You know, Zainab lost her mother at the age of 5. Ladies, my sister, mothers, be around Bibi Zainab tonight. Don't let her feel lonely. You know, when we lose our dears, it really matters a lot. It means a lot to us to see friends around us. They come give us a hand. Anything you need, I'm at your service. What's happening tonight in Kufa? In a night like tonight, that Imam Ali, mind you, he will not be able to offer his morning prayer tomorrow morning. On the day of 21st of Ramadan, for morning prayer, Imam Ali will be in paradise. So hours only are left. There was a surgeon, a physician in Kufa back then. They brought him to examine the wound of the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. After examination, the surgeon looked at Imam Hassan, whispering to Imam Hassan, and said, tell your dad if he has any will to announce it. The medicine today has no treatment for this wound. Poison has spread all around his holy body. But Asbagh ibn Nubate, as I describe it, you just close your eyes and imagine the scene. As I told you, tonight let your souls be free in Kufa, in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Tonight the heart of Imam al-Zaman is broken, brothers. Imam al-Zaman is mourning tonight, Shi'ayan Ali. Asbagh ibn, imagine the scene now. Imam Ali is lying down in his dying bed. Some of the very exclusively disciples of Amir al-Mu'mineen are around him. Only some, very handful. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, of course the family members, Zainab Salamullah alayha, are also there. Asbagh ibn Nubate overheard what the physician had said, that there is no chance for recovery, and therefore he burst unconsciously to tears. He was sobbing and crying. Imam Ali tells him, Ya Asbagh, smiling at him as he's lying down in his bed, my Asbagh, why are you crying? Don't you know that your master is going to paradise, eternal abode in paradise? Asbagh says, my dear Imam, I have no doubt about that. But how are we going to live without you? I'm going to miss you, my dear Imam. Habib ibn Amr, another disciple of Amir al-Mu'mini. I want tonight to give you some more details of the event of tonight, inshallah. Habib ibn Amr tries to just control the situation and give some morale to those few disciples of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And therefore he says, what are you talking about? Don't worry about the physician. Ya Ali, this wound, brothers, this wound is not more serious than the wound and the cut that Imam Ali had at the battle of Dish Khandaq, when Amr ibn Abdawad hit the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was recovered from that. He will be recovered from this. And then he made an Arabic proverb as well. Al-layth yadra idha khadash, wal-lis yaqwa idhan idhar ta'ash. Lion, when he is wounded, he becomes stronger. He is trying to give morale to these few companions. But Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at him and he says, Hayhat ya ibn Am, what you say is too far from the truth, brother. Nafadha al-qada wa ubrim al-muhkam wa jara al-qalam bima fihi wa anni mufariquk. The divine decree is made, is accomplished. The exclusive time for departure has come. The pen of destiny is written, and rest assured that it's only few hours before your Ali ibn Abi Talib, your Imam, departs this dunya and departs you all. Now imagine upon hearing that, what happened to Zainab salamullahi alayha. She, now that she heard the confirmation from her father, she burst into tears. Another calamity. She said, Dad, I was only 5 years old when I lost my mother Fatima. I remember when she was hit between the wall and the door. Dad, I witnessed, I had enough when I witnessed the departure of my grandfather. And now I cannot stand witnessing what is happening to you, my father. Imam Ali alayhi salam looks at her, my dear daughter, my darling Zainab, don't cry, don't break your dad's hearts. Because she was an orphan, Imam Ali looked after her from very young age. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, my Zainab, don't break my heart. Only if you could see what your dad would see. Dad, what are you looking at? What do you see? Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I can see now your grandfather, the messenger of God, has arrived with a group of distinguished prophets and the messengers of God and the host of the angels. What for? They all have come to receive me well, to escort me to my eternal abode in paradise. Allahu Akbar. And as we go further in the night, brothers and sisters, are you sisters with Zainab salamullah alayha? Imam Ali's health is deteriorating. He is hardly talking, yet he is announcing his final will. That famous will of Amir al-Mu'mineen, his wasiyah that is mentioned in Nahj al-Balagha. He announced it. It was written about 20 articles. And then all of a sudden they notice Imam Ali is sweating. Night has passed the midnight. There is silence inside the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Silently they are weeping and crying. They say, all the witnesses, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, although he was lying down, he could hardly speak anymore. Often he gets conscious and unconscious, but all of a sudden he sat up like he's receiving some people. And he says, here I am. As-salamu alayk ya Rasul Allah. As-salamu alayk ya Malaikat Allah. As-salamu alayk ya Anbiya Allah.
What is happening? Then he's reciting this ayah of Quran. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا يَا اللَّهُ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I wonder which gate shall I enter from? Because all the gates of paradise are open before me. The gate holder of every gate is inviting me. Every angel is inviting me to enter paradise from their gate. Allahu Akbar. Then the Imam says, وَلِمِثْلَ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the pious people, meaning that I'm arriving at the Almighty God, in the throne of the Almighty God. Allahu Akbar. That was one incident, one farewell of Amir al-Mu'mineen that Zainab salamullah alayha witnessed. From Kufa, brothers and sisters, do you have the heart to go to Karbala? In the afternoon of Ashura, imagine the scene. Look at the plain of Karbala. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas at the river of Shatt-e-Furat. Even Ali Asghar is martyred. Zainab salamullah alayha has given her children, but no one heard the cry of Zainab. But in the final farewell, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is riding his horse, comes back to the tents, stand at the tent of Zainab and the children, and he is giving the final goodbye. Ya Zainab, Ya Sakina, Ya Fatima, Alaykunna min Islam. Zainab, your brother Hussein is going to go as well. Wa hadha al-firaq wal liqa'u fil jannah. My Zainab, next time you see your brother will be in paradise. Ya Allah, this girl, this lady, that from childhood she had gone through the agony of the loss of the grandfather, then mother, then older brother, she comes out of the tent, she is hugging and holding the leg of the brother. Ya Hussein, how much a woman can take? Ya Hussein, your sister is dying. Ya Hussein, don't leave me alone. Allahu Akbar. As much as Imam Hussein tries to calm her down, to no avail. Only a miracle can stop Zainab. Sisters, give consoling Zainab. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes down. ثُمَّ أَمَرَّ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهَا وَسَكَنَهَا مِنَ الْجَزَاءِ. He put his holy hand on her heart. Miraculously and instantly Zainab felt coming calm down. While she is still in tears, she fell down and said to her brother quietly, Yabna Uyab, Satajiduni kama tuhibbu wa tarda. My dear brother, I promise you that you shall find me as you are pleased. Had it not been that Godal Maqtal, only when at the murder side, I don't have the heart to share this one. But this is special night, let me finish with this. Khanum Zainab, you promised your brother, but when they wanted to pass by the murder side on the Maqtal, and she fell down on the from the camel, looking at the soaked body of her brother, a headless body, a body that was soaked in his blood, she put her hands under the holy body of Abu Abdullah. Painfully she cried, Ya Rasul Allah, Hada Husayn Murammalun Bid-Dimah Muqatta'ul A'adha Wa Bana Tuka Sabaya Ala La'natullah Ala Al-Qawm Al-Zalimin Wasi'alamu Al-Lazina Zalamu أيام غلب ينغلبون.